Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Last week in our study on answering the question, where is the United States in Bible prophecy, we promised to answer the question, what one nation did Ishmael father? We showed you in our last study that Ishmael did not father the Arab world of today. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 20 says Ishmael fathered only one nation. The Word of God does have the answer to Ishmael's descendants. In fact, that's our study for this week. Please take your Bible and go with us to Genesis chapter 25.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Chapter 25 of the book of Genesis, verse 18, says that Ishmael goes to live in a place called at that time Arabia. He does have 12 sons. The text tells us in chapter 25, they live in tents, they are chiefs of tribes, and they go after each other. Indeed, they were very aggressive in all of their actions. In fact, Arabic would use this word to describe these young men. All of Ishmael's sons were Islamic warriors. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about Islam as a religion in the world. I'm using the Arabic word Islam, which means submission. Brain under submission. It does not mean peace. It means brain under submission. And so Ishmael fathered a people, 12 sons who would be tribal leaders who would bring their brothers under submission. Thus, they were called Islamic warriors. And thus, this is the precursor to Islam coming into existence. In fact, Muhammad, who established the Islamic faith, made this statement. He said, I am a direct descendant of Ishmael. He was one of the tribal leaders of those 12 tribes. And then he established the Islamic faith. Ishmael fathered one nation, Arabia, now Saudi Arabia. By the way, you know what the word Arab means when we use the true definition of the word? It means Bedouin or nomad. We're not talking about a people. We have allowed the journalists, basically, to misuse the word. Words have meanings. We need to understand the meanings of words. Arab means Bedouin or nomad. That's what the Arabian people are. Until they found oil, they were Bedouins or nomads walking through the desert, making certain they could find some pasture land for their sheep and goats. They lived in tents made out of goat hair. They were Bedouins. They could roll that tent up very quickly, move to another spot. So they were nomads. That's what Ishmael became as we see the establishment of the nations. And in chapter 25, also, there's the story of Isaac and Rebecca, and they have twin boys, Jacob and Esau. Those two young men become nations as well. We're talking about the origins of nations. Those two young men become nations as well. But if you look at chapter 25 of the book of Genesis, verse 23, Rebecca is told by the Lord himself that there are two nations within her womb. And this is important because we need to understand the origins of nations. If we're going to understand Bible prophecy, we must understand the origins of nations. Go back just for a moment to chapter 10 of the book of Genesis, and let me show you something. Chapter 10 in the book of Genesis has the record of both Shem, Ham, and Japheth. We showed you Shem, Japheth, and we showed you Ham. Shem is here in verse 21, and unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber, and all the way down through the genealogy. Then in verse 31 it says, and these are the sons of Shem after their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Verse 32, chapter 10 of Genesis, these are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations, in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. This is the origin or the establishment of nations. And as we've read, you've heard names familiar to the prophetic passages in God's word that lay out an end time scenario. Well, indeed, that's the origins of nations. Let me also now give you one more bit of information. and that is that these nations will be forever. The omnipresence, always present nations that are going to be into the future. Go to the book of Isaiah just for a second, Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah 2 is somewhat of a kingdom chapter, talking about what's going to happen in the kingdom. And Isaiah gets a word from the Lord, and here's what he says, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and then it be exalted above the hills, and all nations will flow unto it. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the kingdom being set up. Notice what he says, the mountain of the house of the Lord. The mountain of the house of the Lord, the Lord's house. That mountain is the Temple Mount, Mount Moriah in the city of Jerusalem. That's the location where the Lord's house, the temple, is going to be built. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 12 says Jesus Christ returns, he builds that temple. 2 Samuel chapter 7, the Davidic covenant, says that is an absolute statement that will take place because God made an unconditional promise to King David, I will establish a kingdom, I will put a temple up on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and you'll have one of your sons rule and reign from that area forever. And here in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 it says, and the nations shall flow unto this mountain, the house of the Lord. Go to Micah just a moment. The book of Micah. Micah is a similar passage of scripture, Micah chapter 4, and it's talking about the last days as well. Notice what it says, Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and that shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and out of the word of the Lord from out of Jerusalem. As you look at a roadmap through eschatology, 6,000 years ago, God sent Jesus to create the heavens, the earth, and all that in them is. That's the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. By him were all things created. Come along for 4,000 years. Jesus Christ comes, lives, died, buried, resurrects, goes to heaven. 2,000 years now into the future, we come to this next event, which will be the rapture of the church. Jesus shouts, archangel shouts, trumpet of God sounds. We're out of here to be with him. Then there's going to be a seven-year period of time called the tribulation, a terrible time of judgment upon the earth, followed by the return of the Lord Jesus Christ back to the city of Jerusalem. A thousand-year millennial kingdom, and at the end of that thousand years, the great white throne judgment, where Jesus Christ will be the judge, sentencing all of those who rejected him in the lake of fire. That is a walkthrough or a roadmap for end time events, eschatology. The rapture of the church, the next main event which is going to happen, the 7 years, the return of Christ, then the thousand-year millennial kingdom. Isaiah chapter 2, Micah chapter 2 are talking about the kingdom period. The kingdom period when there is going to be a temple in Jerusalem and all the nations will go up. The book of Zechariah chapter 14 says, every nation in this world, once a year on the Feast of Tabernacles, that's the last of the seven Jewish feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles will be required to go to Jerusalem. If you don't go to Jerusalem, plagues could be cast upon your nation, or in fact, a famine or a drought would be so bad you're not able to produce food. You must go to Jerusalem. All the nations go to Jerusalem. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, it talks about three, the Assyrians, the Egyptians, and the Jews, Israel, coming together, all speaking the Hebrew language, walking down the king's highway, making your way up to Jerusalem. There will be a gathering of all the nations. There are two nations or two peoples that will be wiped out. And in our studies ahead, we will look at who those two are. But all the nations that attack Israel will receive redemption and will serve the Lord during the millennial kingdom. And so this is an absolute about nations. They are omnipresence, at least in the kingdom. But they'll have an omnipresence into eternity future. After the great white throne judgment, you have eternity future. What does the Bible say will happen when Jesus Christ receives the kingdom? I made the statement that Jesus Christ is not now King of Kings and not now Lord of Lords. He is not now, and he's not seated on the throne in the heavens, and his kingdom is not now in operation. I say that based upon what Daniel the prophet wrote down in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where it says, the Ancient of Days, that's one of the names for God the Father, will give the Son of Man, that's the name used in the Gospels for Jesus Christ, a dominion, a kingdom forever. Do you not remember the 40 days when Jesus had resurrected from the dead and he went to the Galilee with his disciples and was teaching them? Acts chapter 1 says he was teaching them prophecy, information pertaining to the kingdom to be set up. When they got back into Jerusalem, one of the disciples said, Jesus, are you going to set up your kingdom now? He said, no, I'm not. And then they said, well, when are you going to set up your kingdom? What did Jesus say? I don't know. Only my Father knows that. The kingdom will be given to Jesus Christ. It is not now in operation. It is coming. And during this time, nations will have a role in all the activities that unfold, but into eternity future as well. In Daniel chapter 7, the Ancient of Days says that this dominion, this kingdom is forever. The word there in Hebrew is olam, O-L-A-M. It's the name attached with El for a name of God, El Olam. All the names of God tell the characteristics of God. And El Olam means this, the eternality of God. El, God, Olam, forever, eternal. And so in eternity future, after the great white throne judgment, nations will still be in operation. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 is talking about that period of time in eternity future, and it's dealing with a description of the New Jerusalem. And we'll get more into that later in another study. But let me just read a couple of verses, interesting verses to you. Book of Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighteth it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You might remember in Revelation chapter 1, it says, his face as the sun shineth in its very strength. And so Jesus Christ will be the power and light company in the future. Now look at what it says in verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. In other words, in the New Jerusalem, by the way, the New Jerusalem is not on the earth. It's hanging in the space of the atmospheric heavens out there. More details in another study. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. During this time, we'll see that the New Jerusalem has 12 gates, three in each direction. Those gates are open 24/7. People have access to come in the gates. That's not their eternal abode, but indeed they'll have access and the nations will come. Look at verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it. So nations are omnipresent. They are eternal.
The nations of this world that are mentioned in Bible prophecy are indeed eternal. The nations mentioned in the Bible have a significant role in God's plan for the future. In fact, all the nations will gather together at Jerusalem in alignment with Satan and the Antichrist to try and stop God's plan for the future. That's Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2. Now that will be our study for next week. Please join us at that time as we continue to answer the question, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...